You'll now turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We've been working through Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. We're ending this section on what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, this prayer that our Lord taught his disciples and us to pray. And we'll be looking at the last part of verse 4 today. This is, again, the close of the prayer as recorded for us in Luke. Now, this recording of the prayer is not identical to the prayer that is recorded for us in Matthew. Jesus would have taught this on numerous occasions, and it's interesting there that we have it recorded in two different ways, showing that God does not design this to be necessarily one that must be prayed in this certain way, but that it is a pattern for our prayer. There's a textual issue. If you, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. If you're reading out of the ESV, you will see that that last line, "Deliver us from evil," is not there in the ESV. It is there in Matthew. But nevertheless, even if it is or is not in Luke, and the reason it's not in the ESV is because some earlier manuscripts do not have it, the idea is still present. The idea is still present. Because in order for God not to lead us into temptation, he will, of necessity, have to deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. So let us begin our reading. We're going to read Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" As far as the reading of God's holy word, let us pray. Our God, as we come to your word, we come as those who desire to be instructed, desire to know your word and your will. We desire to be instructed, particularly with regard to prayer. We are so weak in our prayers. We often do not even know what we are to pray for. And so we need desperately to hear from you and to know how we ought to pray. And so give us a wisdom according to your word. And may the words of my mouth and may the preparations be faithful to your word. And may they be instructive to your people. And may ultimately they lead to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I, something about myself, when I start to feel a cold coming on, there's something that I do. I go to the medicine cabinet, and I start grabbing things. I grab the vitamin C. I grab the echinacea. I grab whatever else in there that I think may be a preventative measure, because I want to get it before it starts. I do not want to get sick. And because when I get sick, I'm a big weakling. I'm a big wimp. My wife will tell you that. She's the strong one, not me. And so I go in there and I'm trying to get everything I can, if possible, to prevent myself from getting sick. However, if I'm already sick, I don't go in there and start taking the preventative measures. I grab my go-to, the DayQuil or the NyQuil, depending upon the time of day. And it better be the liquid kind, because my wife will tell you, it better taste nasty, because that's when it's going to work. And so I'll start to grab that medicine so that I can be restored to health. And it's true, we need both of these, don't we? We need preventative medicine, and we need restorative medicine, depending upon where we're at. We need medicine to keep the sickness away if we don't have it. We need medicine to rid ourselves of the sickness if we do have it. And as we come to this closing petition, this final part of the Lord's Prayer, this petition, "Do not lead us into temptation," it's somewhat like how we treat sickness. I hope you'll see there's a preventative side to it. But there's also then a restorative side to it. Now, here's the problem, though, that we have. I think we're all really good, at least I know I am, we're all really good when we come down with a cold, when we're facing some kind of physical illness, we're really good at recognizing it and doing something about it. We go and we take what we need to prevent it, or we take what we need to bring us out of it. We're so prompt when treating our physical issues, but I think we often fail to look at our spiritual issues. We fail to look at the prevention that God gives us, and also the way God plans to restore us from temptation, from sin, from struggles. And perhaps it's because we don't really believe we're going to face them. We see and feel sickness, physical sickness, don't we? A lot easier than we see and feel our spiritual sickness. But which one's greater, our physical sickness or our spiritual sickness? Our spiritual sickness is greater, more devastating to us. And so perhaps we really don't believe that they are real, that is, at least until they come, right? When they show up and we're in the midst of it and we're struggling and we're tempted and we're tried, then it's real. Then it's real. And we probably, when we're led into testing or temptation, we wonder, how in the world did I get here? And how in the world am I going to get out of this? And perhaps we're there because we have not applied God's major remedy, this prayer. We haven't prayed this prayer in faith, both asking for His prevention and restoration when we are tempted. And so as we look at this petition, do not lead us into temptation. I want you to understand that when we pray this, as Jesus has instructed us to pray, lead us not into temptation, we are asking God to prevent temptation and also for strength to undergo temptation. Two things, to prevent temptation in the first place, but also for strength as we undergo temptation. So what does it mean when we ask God to prevent us from undergoing temptation? And why do we need to ask God not to lead us into temptation? Does God lead anyone into temptation? And that's the question, isn't it? It probably comes to our mind. Well, how is it? Here's the objection. Here, Jesus teaches us to pray to our Father in heaven. That's who we're praying for. And ask Him, do not lead us into temptation. How are we to understand this when James 1:13 tells us that God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone to evil? Isn't that a contradiction? Here we're told we're to pray that God would not lead us into temptation, and there we're told that God doesn't tempt anyone. The Roman Catholic Pope in 2019 approved a change to the wording of this prayer, changing it from "lead us not into temptation" to "do not let us fall into temptation." And when asked about this, he explained it this way. Speaking of God, he said, "A father doesn't do that. A father helps you to get up immediately. It's Satan who leads us into temptation. That's his department." Now here's the problem with that. First, we're monkeying with the word of God. But second, this verb, "do not lead us," is not "do not let us fall." It's really changing the word of God. No, it means "do not lead us," "do not bring us." It's a verb that has within it and implies that the one doing the bringing is active. And so how do we deal with this? How do we resolve this apparent contradiction? And it is an apparent contradiction, I assure you. Zacharias Ursinus is helpful here in his commentary on the Heidelberg Catechism. He says there are two kinds of temptation, broadly speaking, one from God and the other from the devil. It works its way out in us. When God is said to tempt us, we must understand that what God is doing is testing us, putting us under trial. It is a trial of our faith, our repentance, and our obedience. Or Sinus says it is in this sense that God is said to have tempted Abraham when he told him to sacrifice Isaac. It is also in this sense that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness in order to be tempted. God used the devil there. We'll see Job later. God then allows Satan to come in. But God certainly is in control. So according to Ursinus, God tempts no one by enticing him or her to sin, but he does try us or test us. We're going to see about that tonight as we look at the testing of God's people in the wilderness. We'll be able to explore that some more tonight. What does that look like? Why does God test us? And how his testing of us is ultimately good for us. But he does not then tempt us or entice us to sin. But in contrast, this is exactly what the devil does. This is exactly what we see the world doing. This is exactly what we see our own flesh doing, enticing us to sin. And so we may put it this way. When we think about this contrast, what does it mean when we say God may test us or try us, or the devil may tempt us? God tempts us or tests us to lead us to himself. Always leading us to himself. Always causing us to cry out to him, to seek his remedy, to increase our faith and reliance upon him in and through the trial. Satan, on the other hand, tempts us in order to lead us in the opposite direction. Entices us to sin in order to lead us away from God, in order to put sin between us and God. And as he tried to do with Job, to get us to curse God. And so you see the different motives here. And Job is the greatest illustration of that. God designed this, ultimately. Remember, Satan is going back and forth, and God questions him, and Satan wants to do this, and God says, yes, go ahead. God designed this as a test in order to strengthen Job's faith, Satan as a temptation in order to destroy Job's faith. But we see that by God's strength, Job stood, even in the temptation, didn't he? And so what are we asking for when we ask God to prevent us from undergoing temptation? Well, we're asking that God would prevent us from undergoing a test of faith. Although sometimes we do need to undergo tests of faith, and we do, it's not as if we are gluttons for punishment or anything like that. We're not out there going, God, please, I want to go through trial after trial after trial. No, God, please, please, prevent me from undergoing these trials. And the church in Philadelphia received this blessing from God. Revelation 3:10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Jesus himself prayed this. He struggled in his humanity and was being weighed down. He prayed, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Speaking of the cross there. Prevent it. And so there we're praying that God would maybe prevent a trial or a test that he brings to us. But also asking God to prevent us from undergoing a temptation to sin that comes from the devil or the world or our own flesh being enticed to sin. Satan is called the tempter over and over. We hear that in 1 Thessalonians. The tempter has tempted you. In 1 Corinthians, Satan does not tempt you. As Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness in Matthew 4, we read that he was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him. And so one of the major things that Satan wants to do is tempt us by enticing us to sin. We pray that God would prevent us from being tempted by Satan. For God is in control of all things, and Satan is a puppet in his hand. He can do nothing to us. He couldn't touch Job without permission from God. God is in control of all things. We ask that God would prevent us from being tempted by our own flesh. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Again, I referenced this earlier in James. In chapter 1, We read that God cannot be tempted and does not tempt anyone to evil. That is, he does not entice us to sin. But in James chapter 1 and verses 12 through 14, we read this. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And so there we see that our own flesh, our own desires can entice us. And so we're praying that God would prevent us even from being tempted by our own flesh or by the world. John speaks of this in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. He says that the world is contrary to the things of God and seeks to draw us away from him. So again, when we ask God to prevent us from undergoing temptation, we're asking for two things. We're asking God would prevent us from having to undergo trial and testing of our faith, although sometimes that is necessary. We're also asking God would protect us from being tempted by Satan, being tempted by our own flesh, being tempted by the things of the world, enticed unto sin. And the wonderful thing is that God often answers this prayer. In fact, we really can't know, can we, how many times God answers this prayer in our lives. Think about it. The way that we know this prayer is answered is that we don't have the temptation. Now, God doesn't come and tell us, okay, listen, you were going to have this temptation, but I answered this prayer, and so you're not having it. We just don't have it. So I want you to think for a moment, what if God did not answer this prayer? What if God did not include this prayer? What do you think your life would be like? How many trials do you think you would face? How many temptations and enticements to sin would you face? Would you even have been able to come here this morning? Because the weight of sin would have you so crushed? Perhaps not. But God is faithful, and he answers it. And so I wonder, do you thank God for all the temptations and all the trials that he has kept you from? You know, far too often we get in the midst of a trial. We get in the midst of a temptation, and all we think is, oh, how horrible this is, and everything turns to dark. But if we would look at it and say, oh God, this is not pleasant, but I'm so thankful that this is all you are allowing me to undergo. I deserve far more than this, and by your grace, you have kept me from so much. This is a small thing compared to what I deserve and compared to what you could allow. Thank you, God, for not allowing more. That's the perspective that we need to have. But the reality is that God does not always prevent temptation. God does sometimes lead us into trials of faith, or even allows us to undergo temptation to sin. And he does so for his own wise purposes. But what he does, he always promises to give us the strength to undergo every temptation. He does. We can be sure of this. And so in praying this, we're asking not only that God prevent us from undergoing temptation, but that God strengthen us when we are undergoing temptation. God would strengthen us. Asking for God's strength when undergoing a test of faith. How do you think Abraham was able to go up the mountain with his son, knowing that he was going to have to kill him? And how do you think Abraham was able to raise the knife? How do you think Abraham was going to go through with it? And we know he was. God says, I see, you were doing it. Only by God's strength. That was a very particular trial that Abraham had. And God gave him a particular strength in the moment for that trial. And we may think, there is no way that I could do that. And you're right. As you are right now, there is no way you could do that. But if God were to put you in a trial like that, he would give you the strength to do it. So you can be assured of that. Job remained faithful to God in spite of great trial. and sore temptation. By God's strength. By God's strength. Jesus himself underwent the greatest trial ever. The trial of the cross. He prayed, "Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." God did not answer the prayer, thankfully for us, to prevent that trial. But Christ underwent the trial for us so that we in him could be strengthened. And so we know we can come to God and we can ask him for the strength when undergoing a test of faith, knowing that as he gave it to Abraham, as he gave it to Job, as he gave it to the Lord Jesus Christ himself in his humanity, he will give it to us who are united to Christ. But also, coming to God and asking for strength when we are undergoing a temptation to sin, that is being enticed by Satan, being enticed by our own flesh, being enticed by the world. You see, Satan's desire is to destroy your faith. He wants to destroy your faith and separate you from God. And he can succeed in separating God's people from God, not permanently, not forever, but for a time. Because what happens when we live and engage in sin, when we give into temptation? God distances himself from us. He cannot be near sin. And he does that for our good. Because when we understand and when we feel God's absence, when we have been accustomed to feel his presence, we will cry out, "Oh God, I desire to be in your presence." And we will war all the more to put that sin to death. So Satan's desire in every temptation is to destroy our faith, but here's God's desire in every temptation that he allows, and that is to strengthen our faith. What did the Lord say to Peter? He said, "Peter, Satan desires to sift you. But here's the good news. I have prayed for you." Think about that. When you're undergoing temptation, when you're undergoing the temptation to sin, remember that Jesus himself is praying for you. Praying for you to be strengthened. And so Peter, who knows that he received the prayer from the Lord Jesus and that he was brought through that great temptation, he could write this, 2 Peter 2:9, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations." The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. He's had a lot of practice doing it. And he never changes. He knows how to deliver us. And so we have this great confidence in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 that no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. But God is faithful. See, the reason that we can pray this prayer with confidence, "Lead us not into temptation," that is, give us the strength when undergoing temptation, is because God is faithful. And he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And God doesn't promise to take you out of the temptation. Sometimes he does. But God does promise to give you the strength to withstand in the temptation. And that can be difficult. And the reality is that if any of us are going to withstand temptation when we are undergoing it, it is only going to be by the strength of God. There is no other way. If you try to war against temptation by your flesh, you will fail every time. But when you come to God and you pray for strength before the temptation comes, and especially while the temptation is ongoing, you can know that he is faithful to provide all that you need in the time of your temptation. And so the question here, as we think about this petition, "Do not lead us into temptation," brings to mind the question that comes out of James chapter 1. Does God lead people into temptation? Well, yes, but not in the way Satan does. We have to understand that God leads us not by enticing us to sin, but he does lead his people into testing and trials. But it's for our good. It's always for our good. It's to draw us to himself. and to strengthen us in our faith. But those trials, if you were to go back and talk to Abraham, talk to Job, was that pleasant? No. Those trials are not pleasant. And so we're instructed here to pray, do not lead us into temptation. To pray that God would prevent us from needing to undergo such tests of faith. And so God does so, but this prayer is not only praying that God would prevent us from undergoing trials for our faith, but also that God would prevent us from even undergoing and strengthen us in temptations. That is, enticements to sin, because this is what the devil does. He is the tempter. He has many, many schemes, and the Apostle Paul says we are not ignorant of his ways. We're told how he operates. Through the world and even our own flesh, we are led by our desires and tempted, enticed to sin. And what is Satan's goal? To draw us away from God. To draw us away from God, and ultimately to do what he cannot do for those who are in Christ, destroy our faith. But we need to pray this prayer. This is why Jesus instructs us to pray, lead us not into temptation. We are praying that God would prevent temptation and that he would give us the strength when we undergo temptation. Now, Jesus teaches us this. And we need to take this teaching seriously. Even more seriously than we take our physical needs. If you're getting sick, you take preventive medicine. If you're already sick, you take restorative medicine. Well, I wonder, do you pray this prayer with the same urgency? Are you actively praying? And again, remember, this is what we ought to pray each day. Not only give us day by day our daily bread, but do not lead us into temptation. Prevent us from it. And protect us in it. We need both preventative and restorative medicine when you're facing spiritual struggles. And this is what God has given us here. And so take this prayer seriously. Jesus did not give it to us for no reason, but because he above all people knows what it is like to undergo trial from God and to undergo temptation by Satan. Hebrews 2:18 says this, "For he that is Christ himself has suffered being tempted. He is able to aid those who are tempted." Oh, Jesus knows. And we are not above our teacher. We will be tested by God in this life. We will be tempted by the devil, the world, our own flesh. But I want you to remember this. You, in praying this prayer, can have absolute confidence that whatever God brings your way, no matter what it is, no matter if it's a trial of faith in which God tests us, no matter if it is a temptation that he allows Satan to bring, he will provide you the strength to endure. It's guaranteed. He is faithful. He will provide you the strength to endure. And as you endure, here's what will happen. You will become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured to the end, didn't he? And you will be drawn nearer and nearer to your Father in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, help us to rightly understand our great need. We know that there are ways in which you do lead your people to do us good, to bring us as you brought the children of Israel through the wilderness to test them, to see what is in their hearts, that you might do them good. So often you bring us into various trials as tests in order that you might do us good, that we might see our need for you and cry out to you. But also that for your own purposes you allow Satan to come and to test and to tempt us, to entice us, but that you give us the strength to withstand. And God, help us to lay hold of your provision, to not think that it is somehow automatically guaranteed. But God, we do need to labor for it in prayer, knowing that you give richly to us all that we ask. And so, God, protect us. Lead us not into temptation. Protect us from and prevent us from being tried and tempted. And if any are here who are in and facing great trial and even great temptation, remind them of your faithfulness and provide them that way of escape that they may be able to bear up under it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.